The Forsyte Chronicles by John Galsworthy, dramatized by David Spencer. With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Alan Howard as Soames, Michael Williams as young Jolyon, and Amanda Redman as Fleur. Episode 8.
You must be feeling very lonely here, Dad.
With his wife and son in Spain, Jolyon did indeed find the solitude at Robin Hill intolerable. Accustomed, however, to the idea, if not to the reality of resignation, he would perhaps have faced it either, but for his daughter, June. He was a lame duck now, and on her conscience.
You're thinking about your condition, Dad.
I shouldn't have told you.
Oh, I'll keep the secret. But, Dad, I know the very man to cure you.
The doctor didn't speak in terms of cure.
Well, this man did wonders with Paul Parker.
I'm too much of a foresight to believe in wonders.
Of course, if you haven't faith, you'll never get well.
It's not easy to have faith in someone whose name one has just heard for the first time.
Pondridge relies on nature, on natural symptoms and their natural causes. It's as simple as that. You've clearly not been living a natural life at Robin Hill, Dad. You're becoming out of touch, and that's not natural. And don't raise your eyebrows. Your heart wants stimulating. I'm taking you back to Chiswick with me.
And my dear...
It's all decided. You'll meet some interesting people, modern people.
Of the age?
Yes, young people. And then before you know where you are, Irene and John will be back from Spain.
La Vendimia. It's not Fleur, of course, and yet... And yet... Oh, how I long for her. The longing hurts. That dress... She stood at the foot of my bed in that dress.
Is that your favorite, Goya John?
Yes. Yes, Mum.
Ah. That's why you bought that postcard.
Not a bad reproduction. There's something... I thought you were looking at the flowers.
I thought you were looking at the view. Yes, it's certainly a charming picture. Mm. She's very pretty, but I think I prefer the Quitasol. Your father would go crazy about Goya. I don't believe he saw them when he was here in 92.
92? That's 9 years before I was born.
Yes. Oh, isn't Granada beautiful? The city down there, so old, so Moorish. Such a past.
Why can't I know your past, Mum? Or Dad's?
They say the Phoenicians once lived in the mountains over there.
Oh, it's so hot.
Longing for the cool of England?
No. You know, Mum, I really don't miss my fellow Englishmen. I must be an unsociable beast, but it's sometimes quite jolly to be away from everyone who can talk about the things they talk about.
Yes, John. I know what you mean.
June's such a dear woman. She tells me you're a painter, Mr. Forsyte.
Oh, nothing much, really. I hang a few things in the Watercolour Society.
The Watercolour Society?
Yes.
Oh.
Dear me, you'd find them very dull. I'm a bit of a back number. Are you a futurist?
Oh, futurism is in the past. No, I'm very much a post-futurist.
Now, Aldous and Molly are going to show us the latest star.
Excuse me, I see Britt Sikorsky over there.
Now, that man really is a genius. Must have a word with him.
What a strange creature June is. My daughter, without a doubt. But sometimes one wonders from where she got herself. We're so different. A little, spirited figure. And we, Forsytes, are all so tall. She's so direct, so pugnacious. And her taste in fillets and gibbers. Where does she get that from? I love her, of course. And certainly she's preferable to anyone else in the room, but she has such an indomitable spirit.
Now, Dad, don't sit in the darkest corner you can find.
I'm quite happy watching the dancers, my dear. The way they have to pull against the rhythm. Luckily, your studio's so large.
There go your eyebrows again. You're far too out of touch with the times. You must take advantage of Irene's absence and lead a more natural life.
Voice in the night, crying. Down in the old sleeping Spanish city, darkened under her white stars. What says the voice? It's clear. Lingering anguish. Just the watchman, telling his dateless tale of safety. Just a roadman, flinging to the moon his song.
No, 'tis one deprived whose lover's heart is weeping. Just his cry, how long? Oh, far too long, John. Far too long.
Well, I think Irene is wrong, Dad. She jolly well should have told John everything. There go the eyebrows again. And don't say you shouldn't have confided in me.
Perhaps I shouldn't have, June. It's never been easy for you to be in sympathy with Irene.
Because of Philip, that was generations ago. And you don't really defend her for not telling John. If it were left to you, you would.
Yes, I might, but simply because I know he must find out, which will be worse than if we told him.
Then why don't you tell him? It's just sleeping dogs again. Mm. I can't bear sleeping dogs.
You see me, John.
Fly.
I want to show you my fancy dress.
I'm dreaming.
Touch it. Grape color. All grapes.
No, I'm dying.
Goodbye,
Fly.
Goodbye, my only true love, John.
Mother. You mustn't blame yourself for trying to separate us. You couldn't know how true our love was.
John.
Goodbye, sweet earth.
John. John. Oh, there, darling. It's only me.
Mom. What's... I've been dreaming.
You've been in a fever. I've brought some fresh eyes for your poor old head.
Oh, it's cold. Feels good. Oh, those bells.
A gazgacha of bells.
Yes. How long have I been in bed?
About 3 days.
I remember feeling sick and that sun pain in the back of my head.
You're too English, my dear, for the Spanish sun. You should have worn a hat. But you'll soon be well now.
Mom. When I am, I'd like to go back to England.
Very well, darling. As soon as you're fit enough to travel.
If you'd like to wait in here, Miss Forsythe.
June was determined to see Fleur and went to her cousin Soames's house at Mapledurham.
Too much taste in this room. Too many knick-knacks. Ah.
She saw a girl coming in from the veranda, clothed in white, and holding some white roses in her hand. It looked as if a pretty ghost had come out of the green garden.
How do you do? I'm a cousin of your father's.
Oh, yes. I saw you in the confectioner's.
With my young stepbrother. Your name's Fleur, isn't it? I've heard of you from Holly. What do you think of John?
He's quite a nice boy.
Not a bit like Holly or me, is he?
Not a bit. I wish you'd tell me why our families don't get on.
You know, the surest way to make people find out the worst is to keep them ignorant. My father's told me it was a quarrel about property, but I don't believe it. We've both got heaps. They wouldn't have been so bourgeois as all that.
My grandfather was very generous, and my father is too. Neither of them was in the least bourgeois.
Well, what was it then?
Why do you want to know?
I only want to know because they won't tell me.
Well, it was about property. But there's more than one kind.
Well, that makes it worse. Now I really must know.
You know, I saw you drop your handkerchief. Is there anything between you and John? Because if so, you'd better drop that too.
If there were, that isn't the way to make me.
I like you, but I don't like your father. I never have. We may as well be frank.
Did you come down to tell him that?
No, I came down to see you.
Oh, how delightful of you.
I'm 2.5 times your age, but I quite sympathize. It's horrid not to have one's own way.
I really think you might tell me.
It's not my secret. But I'll see what I can do, because I think both you and John ought to be told. And now I'll say goodbye.
Won't you wait and see Father?
No. How can I get over to the other side? I wanted to see some of the countryside, so I dismissed my cab and walked.
I'll row you across.
Look, next time you're in London, come and see me. This is where I live. I generally have young people in for the evening, but I shouldn't tell your father that you're coming.
I won't, Cousin June.
June watched Fleur scull the skiff back across the river. The instinct to couple, starved within herself, was always at work in June.
Youth. Such a long, long time ago. Phil. It was so simple to love Phil. And since then, nothing. There hasn't been anyone I really wanted, somehow. But what a coil is round those two young things. What a barrier. But surely something can be done for them. One should do something.
Fleur!
I thought I'd come and meet you.
Oh, that's nice.
Who do you think has been to see you, Dad? She couldn't wait. Guess.
I never guess. Who?
Your cousin, June Forsythe.
What did she want?
I don't know.
Well, I suppose she wanted me to buy a picture.
I don't think so. Perhaps it was just family affection.
Well, she's only a first cousin once removed.
And the daughter of your enemy.
What do you mean by that?
I beg your pardon, dear. I thought he was.
Enemy? It's ancient history. I don't know where you get your notions.
From June Forsythe.
From... If you know, why do you plague me?
I don't want to plague you, darling. As you say, why want to know more? Why want to know anything of that small mystery? Je m'en fiche, as Profon says.
That chap.
Dad?
Hmm?
I've been down to see young Fleur. It's no good hiding our heads under our wings, is it?
Certain things can never be buried.
I disagree. Why do you think it matters so terribly that John should know about his mother? Who pays any attention to that sort of thing now? What does it matter?
This is a matter of human feeling.
Of course it is. The human feeling of those two young things.
Oh, my dear, you're talking nonsense.
I'm not. If they prove to be really fond of each other, why should they be made unhappy because of the past?
You haven't lived that past. I have, through the feelings of my wife.
If she were the daughter of Phil Bassini, I could understand you better. Irene loved him. She never loved Soames.
That shows how little you understand. Neither I nor John, if I know him, would mind a love past. It's the brutality of a union without love. This girl is the daughter of the man who once owned John's mother as a Negro slave was owned. You can't lay that ghost. Don't try to, June. It's asking us to see John joined to the flesh and blood of the man who possessed John's mother against her will. It's no good mincing words. I want it clear once and for all.
Allow, I mustn't talk any more. I shall have to sit up with this all night.
What is it, Dad? Your heart. Oh, Dad. Poor Dad. Da 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 da
That patch of ground is far too close. I looked at it today.
What patch is that, dear?
The patch where the local authorities are proposing to build that sanatorium for people with weak lungs. The site's less than half a mile from here.
Goodness, that is close, dear.
After dinner, Fleur danced the music of an electric pianola, which performed foxtrots unassisted, with a surprised chime on its expressive surface.
Aren't you going to dance with your only child, dear?
Foxtrots are for young people like you and that Mont chap. Or your mother. It's a dangerous scheme, this sanatorium. The country should stamp out tuberculosis, but this isn't the place to do it. It should be done further away. It'll certainly depreciate the neighbourhood. I've come down without a handkerchief.
I'll get you one, dear. You stay there.
Thus chance, which visits the lives of even the best invested foresights, put a clue into Fleur's hands. In the sachet where she sought for the handkerchief, there were two compartments. One was buttoned and contained something flat and hard. By some childish impulse, Fleur unbuttoned it.
Me? A framed photograph of me as a little girl. Well, well, dear father. Oh, I look so angular and... Why, there's another one behind it. A young woman. That face... I'm sure I've seen it somewhere. The evening dress is a very old style. Why, it's... Surely... John's mother. Why should there be a photograph of John's mother? Such an ancient photograph. Why, of course... John's father has married the woman my father wanted to marry. Cheated my father out of her, perhaps. Oh, poor father. He must have loved her very much to have kept this such a long time, and in spite of having lost her. And what about my own mother? Did he ever really love her? Probably not. So... John is the son of the woman father really loved. Well, then, surely you won't mind me loving John. He only needs to get used to the idea. Oh, what a relief. Oh, what a blessed relief. I can't wait to tell John when he gets back.
Hello, young man.
Van.
What a surprise. Where are you off to?
I've just been up to my tailor's.
Oh, that's good. When did you get back from Spain?
Day before yesterday. I returned ill. I got a touch of the sun.
Well, you look quite ready to race now. Come and have some lunch at the Iseum, my poor old dad's old club.
The Iseum didn't alter. Could not. So long as George Forsyth sat on its committee, where his culinary acumen was almost the controlling force. The club had made a stand against the newly rich, and it had taken all George Forsyth's prestige to bring in Prosper Profond. The two were lunching together when the half-brothers-in-law entered the dining room and, attracted by George's forefinger, sat down at their table.
Your grandfather tipped me once, John. He was a deuced good judge of a cigar.
After that, neither George nor Prosper Profond took any notice of John. And John was grateful for this.
I must see Fleur. Our meeting at the National Gallery is not for another 3 days. But I feel such a worm keeping it all from Mum and Dad, being so secretive. Did they believe me when I said I needed new trousers? After lunch, I'll try her club. But it'll be the merest chance if she's there. Oh, suppose she's forgotten me.
Coffee.
Thank you. Who were those, Val? I didn't quite...
Old George Forsyth is a first cousin of your father's and of my Uncle Soames. Oh. He's always been here. The other chap, Profond, is a queer fish. I think he's hanging around Soames's wife, if you ask me.
Oh, but that's awful. I mean, for Fleur.
Well, don't suppose Fleur cares very much. She's very up to date.
Her mother?
You're very green, John.
mothers are different.
Well, you're right. But things aren't what they were when I was your age. There's a tomorrow we die feeling.
What's the matter between Fleur's father and mine?
Stable secret, John. Take my advice and bottle up. It'll do no good by knowing. Have a liqueur.
No. I must go now, Val. Thanks awfully for the lunch.
All right. See you on Friday.
I don't know. It's awful to be treated as a child.
No, I'm sorry, sir. Miss Forsyte's not in the club. She might be in later, perhaps.
Is that a possibility?
Well, we really can't say, sir. But she is often in on Mondays.
I'll call again later, then.
Under the young lime trees I lie, watching their leaves against the sky. The bright sun. No.
John began to scribble. He jotted a stanza when something touched his shoulder. A green parasol.
They told me you'd seen and were coming back.
Fleur!
So I thought you might be out here, and you are. It's rather wonderful.
Oh, Fleur! I thought you might have forgotten me.
I told you I shouldn't.
Oh, it's too much luck. Let's get away from this side. Hasn't anybody cut in?
There is a young idiot, but he doesn't count.
You know, I've had sunstroke. I didn't tell you. Has anything happened to you?
Nothing. Except that I think I've found out what's wrong between our families, John.
What is it?
I believe my father wanted to marry your mother, and your father got her instead.
Oh.
I came on a photo of her. It was in a frame behind a photo of me. Of course, if he was very fond of her, that would have made him pretty mad, wouldn't it?
Not if she loved my father best.
But suppose they were engaged.
If we were engaged, and you found you loved somebody better, I might go cracked, but I shouldn't grudge it you.
I should. You mustn't ever do that to me, John.
Oh, my God. Not much.
I don't believe he's ever really cared for my mother. You see, we don't know. It may have been a great shock. She may have behaved badly to him. People do.
My mother wouldn't.
I don't think we know much about our fathers and mothers. They're both old. Look at your father with three separate families.
Isn't there any place in all this beastly London where we can be alone?
Only a taxi.
Well, let's get one, then.
John, I've been thinking.
Hmm?
Are you going back to Robin Hill?
Yes.
I should like to see where you live, John. I'm staying with my Aunt Winifred for the night, but I could get back in time for dinner. I wouldn't come to the house, of course.
Splendid. I can shoot you from the copse. You shan't meet anybody. There's a train at 4.
The god of property and his Forsytes, great and small, leisured, official, commercial or professional, like the working classes, still worked their 7 hours a day, so that those two of the fourth generation travelled down to Robin Hill in an empty first-class carriage. They travelled in blissful silence, holding each other's hands. At the station, they saw no one except porters and walked up the lane, which smelled of dust and honeysuckle. It was love in a mist. One of those illuminated pages of life where every word and smile, every light touch they gave each other, were as little gold and red and blue butterflies and flowers and birds scrolled in among the text. They reached the coppice at the milking hour and turned in among the larches, and suddenly, at the winding of the path, they saw someone sitting on the old log seat.
Mom! The way she's looking at me. I'm a worm. A real worm. I should have... could have brought Fleur down openly. But to sneak her in like this...
I'm very glad to see you. It was nice of John to think of bringing you down to us.
We weren't coming to the house. I just wanted Fleur to see where I lived.
Won't you come up and have tea?
Thanks very much. But I have to get back for dinner. I met John by accident and we thought it would be rather jolly to see his home.
Of course. But you must have tea. We'll send you down to the station. My husband will enjoy seeing you.
Yes.
A true worm.
We'll have tea at once, so that you can catch the train. John, dear, tell them at the house we'll have tea at once, and telephone to the Dragon for a car.
Oh, now I shan't see Fleur alone again. Not for a minute. And we haven't arranged another meeting.
When John went out again under cover of the maid and teapots, there was not a trace of awkwardness beneath the oak tree. The awkwardness was all within himself.
We back numbers are awfully anxious to find out why we can't appreciate the new stuff. You and John must tell us.
It's supposed to be satiric, isn't it?
Satiric? Oh, I think it's more than that. What do you say, John?
I don't know at all.
The young are tired of us. Our gods and our ideals. Off with their heads, they say. Smash their idols. And let's get back to nothing.
No, Dad. We only want to live. And we don't know how because of the past. That's all.
Why, George, as profound, John, is it your own? The past. Old ownerships, old passions, and their aftermath. Let's have cigarettes.
When Fleur came down to dinner that evening, Monsieur Profond was standing at the window of Winifred's little drawing-room, looking out into Green Street with an air of seeing nothing in it.
Mr. Forsythewell, I was saying today I want to see him have some pleasure. He worries.
You think so?
Worries.
Shall I tell you what would give him pleasure? To hear that
I was hearing at the club today about his old trouble.
What do you mean?
Before you were born. That small business.
Tell me what you heard.
Why, you know all that.
I expect I do, but I should like to know that you haven't heard it all wrong.
His first wife.
Well, what about her?
Mr. George Forsythe was telling me about your father's first wife marrying his cousin Julian afterward. It was a small bit unpleasant, I should think. I saw that boy. Nice boy. Is anything the matter, Miss Forsythe?
No. I just don't...
Oh, here you both are already. Imogen and I have had the most amusing afternoon of the babies' bazaar.
Oh. What babies?
The Save the Babies. I got such a bargain, my dear, a piece of old Armenian work from before the flood. I want your opinion on it, Prosper.
And you shall have it, my dear Winifred. Later.
Auntie.
What's the matter, Fleur? Aren't you well?
Auntie, he told me that Father has been married before. Is it true that he divorced her and she married John Forsythe's father?
Dear. Your father didn't wish you to hear. Well, these things will happen. I've often told him he ought to let you know. Oh. We've forgotten all about it, years and years ago. Come and have dinner.
No, Auntie, I don't feel very well. May I go upstairs?
My dear, you're not taking this to heart. Why, you haven't properly come out yet. That boy is a child.
What boy? I've got a headache.
Well, well, go and lie down. I'll send you some bromide. And I shall talk to Prosper Poffel. Though I must say, I think it's much better you should know.
Yes.
What can I do? What can I do? I mustn't give up, mustn't lose John. I wonder if they've told him. If my visit to Robin Hill forced them to tell him.
Your father's first wife had been very foolish.
Winifred had set herself the task of minimising the matter to Fleur, and her description had been a masterpiece of understatement.
There was a young man who got run over, and she left your father.
Everything now turns on whether John has been told or not. I know, they all know, except perhaps John.
And then, oh, years later, just when it might have all come right again, she took up with our cousin Julian.
John loves his mother. If they tell him, what will he do?
Of course, your father was obliged to have a divorce.
No, they won't tell him. It would hurt him awfully.
Nobody remembers anything about it now, except just the family.
So if they haven't told him, shouldn't I, couldn't I get him for myself? Marry him before he knows. Aunt Winifred must not tell Father that I know. As long as John and I are supposed not to know, there's still a chance. June Forsythe, will she help us? She'd be sympathetic to us, I know she would. But I won't give anything away, even to her. I daren't. I mean to have John against them all. Poor father.
Poor me, poor John, but I don't care. I mean to have him.
You know, Auntie, I do wish people wouldn't think I'm in love with that boy. Why, I've hardly seen him.
Money is extraordinary tight. Morals extraordinary loose. War did that. Banks won't lend. People break contracts all over the place. I don't like the feeling of today. The country's too full of gambling and bankruptcies.
Being a sleeping partner, Sam's seldom visited the city now, but he still had a room of his own at Cuthcote, Kingston and Forsyth's, and his old clerk, Gradman, assigned to the management of purely Forsyth affairs.
I want to look at my will and marriage settlement, Gradman.
Copy, sir.
I don't like the condition of the country, Gradman. During coverture, yes, that's in. Mrs. Forsyth is looked after while she upholds her marriage vows. And I want to find a way by which I can safeguard Miss Fleur against anything which might arise.
Yes, yes. There's a nasty spirit.
What have you done about that dilapidation notice in Vere Street?
I haven't served it yet. The party's very old. She won't want to go out at her age.
I don't know. Serve it, see what she says. Oh, and Mr. Timothy, is everything in order in case of...
I've got the inventory of his estate already. Had the furniture and pictures valued so that we know what reserves to put on.
I must catch the 4 o'clock. Good day, Gradman.
Good day, Mr. Soames.
What a jolly little duck of a house. And what beautiful poppies.
Yes, Iceland poppies. Have you come about John? You said you thought we ought to be told. Well, I found out.
Oh, not nice, is it?
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't want John to suffer. I must see him once more to put an end to it.
You're going to put an end to it?
What else is there to do?
I suppose you're right. I know my father thinks so, but I should never have done it myself. I don't take things lying down.
People will assume that I'm in love.
Well, aren't you? What do you want me to do, then?
Could I see John here tomorrow on his way down to Holly's? He'd come if you sent him a line tonight. And perhaps afterwards you'd let them know quietly at Robin Hill that it's all over, and that they needn't tell John about his mother.
I'll write now, and you can post it. I might have known it. She's Soames's daughter. Cold fish. And yet, he... Does she know about Philip and me?
Iceland poppies sound so cold, yet they're such warm-looking flowers.
Cold-blooded little baggage. John, the son of my father, to love and not be loved by the daughter of Soames. It's humiliating.
Well, if you're not in love, of course, there's no more to be said. John's lucky. Here's the letter.
An uninteresting post.
Soames reached his house at Mapledurham about 6 o'clock. The air was heavy. Midges biting. Thunder about. He'd taken his letter up to his dressing room to cleanse himself of London.
Sir, I feel it is my duty... duty. An appeal. Something unpleasant. What? No signature? Sir, I feel it is my duty to inform you that having no interest in the matter, your lady is carrying on with a foreigner. What? What's the postmark? Something C? Chelsea? No. Battersea? Perhaps? These foreigners are all the same. Sack the lot. This one... meets your lady twice a week. I know it of my own knowledge, and to see an Englishman put on goes against the grain. You watch it and see if what I say isn't true. I shouldn't meddle if it wasn't a dirty foreigner that's in it. Yours, obedient... disgusting. It's obscene. Yes. But I knew the shadow was there. What did Fleur call him?
prowling cat. Well, at least I've made certain of the will and marriage settlement. But I will not be forced into another scandal. No, I'll do nothing that might injure Fleur. What a mercy she's not at home tonight. Yes?
Mr. Michael Montser is in the drawing room. Will you see him?
No. Yes. Yes, I'll come down. Anything that'll take my mind off all this?
I thought Fleur would have been back, sir.
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, actually, I'm glad she isn't.
Oh?
The fact is, I'm fearfully gone on her, sir. So fearfully gone that I thought you'd better know. It's old-fashioned, of course, coming to Father's first, but I thought you'd forgive that. You see, when you've been through the war, you can't help being in a hurry.
To get married and unmarried afterwards?
Oh, not from Fleur, sir. Imagine if you were me.
Fleur's too young.
No, sir. We're awfully old nowadays. My dad seems to be a perfect babe, but he's a baronite. Of course, that keeps him back.
Baronite? What may that be?
A Bart, sir. I shall be a Bart someday, but you'll live it down, you know.
Go away and live this down.
Oh, no, sir. I simply must hang around or I shouldn't have a dog's chance. You'll let Fleur do what she likes, I suppose, anyway. You don't really bar me, do you? To show you I mean business, I've got a job.
Glad to hear.
Joined a publisher. My governor is putting up the stakes.
I don't dislike you, Mr. Mont, but Fleur is everything to me. Everything. Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I know. But so is she to me.
That's as may be. I'm glad you've told me, however. And now I think there's nothing more to be said.
You aren't cheering.
No. My experience of life has not made me anxious to couple people in a hurry. Good night, Mr. Mont. I shan't tell Fleur what you've said.
Oh, I really could knock my brains out for want of her. She knows that perfectly well.
I dare say. I dare say.
Soames went out on the lawn. The thundery air kept all scents close to earth.
The younger generation. Flying dust and broken bones. Where is Annette? With that chap? Well, she's a young woman. But it's because Fleur means so much to me that Annette means so little. A lonely business. Life. Not dignified what I have to do, but I must tackle it. Annette must be back now from wherever she went. But suppose she wants her liberty to marry this fellow. Well, she can't have it. I haven't married her for that. This is what comes of marrying a French woman. But without her, there'd have been no Fleur. She served her purpose. Here comes the rain.
That's better. Damp was lifting in. Bad for the paintings. I like this David Cox. Sun and wind everywhere. Birds are really flying.
We need new curtains in here. These are so dowdy.
I've had this.
Oh?
It's crumpled, but you can read it. No, it's got good tone, all right, but the sea hasn't enough movement.
Dirty.
I quite agree. Degrading. Is it true?
And what if it were?
Is that all you have to say?
No.
Well, speak out.
What is the good of talking?
So, you admit it.
I admit nothing. You're a fool to ask.
A man like you should not ask. It's dangerous.
Do you remember what you were when I married you? Working at accounts? In a restaurant?
Do you remember that I was not half your age?
I am not going to bandy words. I require you to give up this friendship. I think of the matter entirely as it affects Fleur.
Ah, Fleur.
Yes, Fleur. She is your child as well as mine.
It is kind to admit that.
Are you going to do what I say?
I refuse to tell you.
Then I must make you.
No, Soames. You're helpless. Do not say things that you will regret.
I...
There shall be no more such letters, I promise you. That is enough. When two people have married and lived like us, Soames, they'd better be quiet about each other. There are things one does not drag up into the light for people to laugh at. You will be quiet, and not for my sake, but for your own. You're getting old. I'm not, yet. You have made me very practical.
I require you to give up this friendship.
And if I do not?
Then I will cut you out of my will.
Oh, you will live a long time, Soames.
You are a bad woman.
I do not think so. Living with you has killed things in me, it's true. But I am not a bad woman. I am sensible. That is all. And so will you be when you've thought it over.
I shall see this man and warn him off.
Oh, Cher. You are funny. You do not want me. You have as much of me as you want. And you wish the rest of me to be dead. I admit nothing, but I'm not going to be dead, Soames, at my age. So you'd better be quiet, I tell you. I myself will make no scandal. None. Now, where's my novel? Ah. Now, I'm not saying any more. Whatever you do.
Good evening, Miss Forsyth.
Isn't there a small thing I can do for you?
Yes. Pass by on the other side.
I say. Why do you dislike me?
Do I?
It looks like it. Look here, Miss Forsyth. Don't worry. It'll all be all right. Nothing lasts. I'm going on my yacht.
Where?
A small voyage to the South Sea somewhere. Good night, Miss Forsyth. Remember me to Mrs. Darty. I'm not so bad, really. Good night.
A small voyage. What a relief. And an insult, too. He wants to convey he's breaking with Mother. Well, how dare he have anything to break? And then how dare he break it? He can't even love with conviction.
That night, Soames went into his wife's room. She received him in the most matter-of-fact way, as if there'd been no scene between them. And he returned to his own room with a curious sense of peace.
If you will wait in here, Miss Forsyth, I shall send the young gentleman in when he arrives.
Yes, thank you.
The next day, Fleur took a bus to June's jolly little duck of a house in Chiswick. She was too early and waited in the little meal room. Shudders kept passing through her nerves.
Fleur!
Sit down, John. I want to talk to you seriously.
What is it?
If you don't want to lose me, we must get married.
Why? Is there anything new?
No, but I felt it at Robin Hill and among my people.
Robin Hill, it was all smooth and they've said nothing to me.
But they mean to stop us. Your mother's face was enough, and my father's.
Have you seen him since?
Yes.
But I can't see how they can feel like that after all these years.
Perhaps you don't love me enough.
Not love you enough? Why?
They made sure of me.
Without telling them?
Not till after.
It would hurt Mother awfully.
You've got to choose.
But why not tell them? They can't really stop us, Fleur.
They can.
How?
By putting money pressure and all sorts of other pressure. I'm not patient, John.
But it's deceiving them.
You can't really love me, or you wouldn't hesitate.
Fleur!
I've planned it all out. We've only got to go to Scotland. When we're married, they'll soon come round. People always come round to fat. Don't look like that. I only don't want to lose you, John.
You can't lose me so long as you want me.
Oh, yes, I can.
Fleur, Do you know anything you haven't told me?
No. I want to make sure. I want to make sure. Promise.
It's like hitting them. I must think a little, Fleur. I really must.
Oh, very well.
Will you take some tea, Gnädiges Fräulein?
No. No, thank you. I'm just going.
Fleur!
On reaching Mapledurham, Fleur found the atmosphere so peculiar that it penetrated even the perplexed aura of her own private life. Neither of her parents had a word to throw to a dog.
What's the matter with Mother?
What matter? Well, what should be the matter? Oh, this vine's a failure.
By the way, Monsieur Profond's going on a small voyage on his yacht to the South Seas.
It needs pruning. All vines need pruning. I've had young Mont here. He asked me something about you.
Oh? How do you like him, Father?
Well, he's a product, like all these young people.
What were you at his age, dear?
Oh, we went to work and didn't play about flying and motoring and making love.
Perhaps you had a grand passion.
Yes. If you want to know, and much good it did me.
Tell me about it, Father.
Why should you want to know about such things at your age?
Is she alive?
Hmm?
And married?
Yes.
It's John Forsyte's mother, isn't it? And she was your wife first.
Who told you that? If your aunt... I can't bear the affair being talked of.
Darling, it's a long time
ago. Long ago or not, I've tried to forget. I don't wish to be reminded. In these days, people don't understand. Grand passion, indeed. No one knows what it is.
I do.
What are you talking of? A child like you?
Perhaps I've inherited it, Father.
What?
For her son, you see.
These pipes are never kept at the right temperature. This is crazy.
Don't be angry, Father. I can't help it.
I thought that foolishness was all forgotten.
Oh, no, it's 10 times what it was.
Damnation!
Dearest... What must be, you know.
Must? You don't know what you're talking about. Has that boy been told?
Not yet.
It's most distasteful to me. Nothing could be more so. Son of that fellow, it's perverse.
John's father is quite ill and old. I saw him.
You?
Yes, I went there with John. I saw them both.
Well, and what did they say to you?
Nothing. They were very polite.
Well, they would be. I must think this over. I'll speak to you again tonight.
Fleur entered the orchard and sat down under a cherry tree. Over the lush grass fell the thick shade from those fruit trees planted by her father 25 years ago.
My happiness is all Father really cares about. My future. He's only got to be convinced that I could never be happy without John. He thinks it's just a mad fancy. Caprice. Oh, how foolish the old are, always thinking they know how we feel. He piles up his money for me, but what's the use if I'm not going to be happy? Only love brings happiness. Nothing really stands in the way, only a ghost. Only a ghost from an unhappy past.
It was hot that night. Both Fleur and her mother had put on thin, pale, low frocks. The dinner flowers were pale. Everything had a pale look. Soames's face, Annette's shoulders, the pale panelled walls, the pale grey velvet carpet. Even the soup was pale. A moth came in, and that was pale. And silent was the half-morning dinner in the heat. After her mother had left, Fleur sat alone with her father.
I've been thinking.
Yes, dear?
I've only you to look to. I've never had, never wanted anything else since you were born.
I know.
You may think this is a matter I can smooth over and arrange for you, but you're mistaken. I'm helpless. Quite apart from my own feelings, those two are not amenable to anything I can say. They hate me, as people always hate those whom they have injured.
But he, John, he...
He's their flesh and blood, her only child. And probably he means to her what you mean to me. It is a deadlock.
No, no, Father.
Listen, you're putting the feelings of 2 months, 2 months, against the feelings of 35 years. Your very first love affair, a matter of half a dozen meetings, a few walks and talks, a few kisses, against what you can't imagine, what no one could who hasn't been through it. It is midsummer madness.
The madness is in letting the past spoil it all. What do we care about the past? It's our lives, not yours.
Whose child are you? Whose child is he? The present is linked with the past, and the future with both. There is no getting away from that.
But, Father, consider it practically. We want each other. There's ever so much money and nothing whatever in the way but sentiment. Let's bury the past, Father. Besides, you can't prevent us.
I don't suppose that if left to myself I should try to prevent you. I must put up with things, I know, to keep your affection. But it is not I who control this matter. That's what I want you to realize before it is too late. If you go on thinking you can get your way and encourage this feeling, the blow will be heavier when you find you can't.
Oh, help me, Father. You can help me, you know.
I help? I am the impediment, the just cause and impediment. Isn't that the jargon? You have my blood in your veins. Well, the fat's in the fire. If you persist in your willfulness, you'll have yourself to blame. Now, come. Don't be foolish, my child. My only child.
Fleur went out into the twilight, distraught but unconvinced. All was indeterminate and vague within her, like the shapes and shadows in the garden, except her will to have. She went down to the riverbank and stood gazing at a moon streak on the darkening water. Suddenly, she smelled tobacco smoke, and a white figure emerged, as if created by the moon.
Fleur, don't be hard on a poor devil. I've been waiting hours.
For what?
Come for a row.
Not I.
Why not?
I'm not a water nymph.
Haven't you any romance in you? Don't be modern, Fleur.
Go away.
Fleur, I love you. Fleur?
Come again when I haven't got my wish.
Well, what is your wish?
Ask another.
Fleur, don't mock me.
Well, you shouldn't make me jump. Give me a cigarette.
I don't want to talk rot, but please imagine all the rot that all the lovers that ever were have talked, and all my special rot thrown in.
Thank you, I have imagined it. Good night.
Also ran Michael Mont.
Good night.
On the lawn, Fleur stopped to look back. Michael Mont was whirling his arms above him. She could see them dashing at his head, then waving at the moonlit blossoms of the acacia.
Jolly, 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 jolly.
Yes, jolly. Oh, John.
Fleur. Cold moon, warm air, downs all silver. Oh, Fleur, how empty everything is without you.
If you don't want to lose me,
We must get married.
Fleur in her Goya dress.
Perhaps you don't love me enough.
God, how can I live down here not seeing her?
I only don't want to lose you, John.
In the Bible it's written, thou shalt leave father and mother and cleave to you, Fleur. You.
You've got to choose.
Oh, God. Let me have the pluck to go and tell them. They can't stop me marrying Fleur. They won't want to stop me once they know how I really feel.
I want to make sure. I want to make sure.
Yes. I'll go and tell them. No more indecision. I'll tell them I'm going to marry Fleur.
In episode 8 of the Foresight Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogart, Soames, Alan Howard, young Jolyon, Michael Williams, and Irene, Diana Quick. Amanda Redman played the part of Fleur, Gary Cady, John, Angela Pleasance, June, Fiona Walker, Winifred, and Gary Bond, Michael Mont. Monsieur Profond and George were played by Christopher Good, Annette, Shelley Thompson, Val, Dale Rapley, and Gradman, Brian Miller. Other parts were played by Nicholas Gilbrook and Sue Broomfield. The director was Sue Wilson.